I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
I'm the only one in the room who
still trusts myself. You gotta really keep nurturing that relationship with yourself so that when shit hits the fan, you know where to go. I would have said that in the past, my highest value was humor. But trust is now, through my experience, I feel the number one thing that needs to be there in order for everything else to fall into place.
What if, since you were a little girl, you found yourself on a quest for your soulmate, one that would hopefully end with you meeting and marrying the love of your life? Manon Matthews, social media superstar, comedian, actor, writer, director, was a guest on The Only One in the Room in summer of 2019. During her interview, she told us about her belief in soulmates and how all the work she'd done on herself had led her to meet him, the absolute love of her life. 46 days after we taped the interview, to the delight of her 604,000 Instagram followers, Manon would have a fairy tale wedding with pictures that would garner thousands upon thousands of likes and comments. But what if, only a few months after your wedding, you found yourself trying to move through some unexpected speed bumps that threatened to derail your marriage? Would you continue to share your story publicly, creating a heartfelt post to let your fans know that you and your new husband were separating? Or would you shut the door on your past and continue to post as though you were living, as everyone had hoped, happily ever after? Hi, I'm Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is The Only One in the Room. In September 2018, I found myself in an all-too-familiar position. Looking around the room at the other attendees at a famed writer's retreat, I realized that I was the only Black woman in the room. When I wrote about my experience for the Huffington Post, something surprising happened. 24 hours after my piece went live, I had 568 direct messages in my inbox. These were messages from people of all races, ethnicities, creeds, and nationalities who had connected with my piece because they too had felt othered. These are the stories we want to share. This podcast is for anyone who has ever felt alone in a room full of people, which is to say that this podcast is for everyone. You're listening to The Only One in the Room, presented by Lipstick and Vinyl and executively produced by Christina Barcy. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to like and leave us a review of your thoughts on the show. And if you have an Only One in the Room story you'd like to share, you can DM us on Instagram at The Only One in the Room. Enjoy the show. Manon Matthews.
Hi.
What was your first concert?
Hanson.
Hanson.
Oh, that's so
Sing
great.
The song.
It's another one I don't know.
I have the same birthday as Zach Hanson, which was the young drummer.
Oh, wow.
And then the following concert was NSYNC. And then I cried because I was, even in a crowd of 17,000 people, I felt JC really looked at me.
He saw you.
He saw me.
He
saw me. And I cried.
Aw. That's okay.
How old were you at Hanson?
Like six, seven.
Six or seven. Wow. And then NSYNC? What?
You know what? I didn't go to Hanson. I did not. Audrey went to Hanson.
Wait, that's
and I was
the best.
Jealous. That,
Audrey.
Oh, no.
I wanted to go to the Hanson concert, but I never did. My first concert was NSYNC.
NSYNC.
Wow.
I saw Hanson 20 years later. I went to Universal City Walk to go see Sherlock Holmes with my mom, and we walk by. You know how there's that stage?
Yeah.
Someone was mic testing, and then Hanson came on.
Oh.
And it was like this Christmas concert, and Hanson performed, and I didn't really care at that point.
I was going to ask her.
You'd already seen them in your head.
I already thought. I clearly would bet my life on the fact that I saw Hanson in concert, which I didn't.
Isn't
Audrey
that funny?
Did.
I have so many of those things.
I was going to ask where Hanson is now, but now I know you can find them at City Walk.
They're at City Walk. Yeah. They're definitely on Facebook.
Tuning other guys' instruments.
Yeah, I saw them.
Tuning other guys' instruments. That's hilarious.
Okay, so NSYNC, that is a good first concert. And then how old were you then, did you say? Around?
It was at the Rose Bowl. I think I want to say I was around 8 or 9.
Okay, wow. You were still really young.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I like the first story best when it wasn't your first concert, but you thought it was.
My first concert that I never went to?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is like therapy.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So I am Laura Cathcart-Robbins. This is The Only One in the Room, but I am never the only one in this room. Because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Hun. Mm. So this is our very first follow-up interview ever.
It's very cool, and it's Manon.
It's Manon.
How cool, huh?
And really cool that she's trusting us again to take good care of her story.
Absolutely.
So just to refresh, I'm going to read this. Manon was our guest in June last year, 46 days before her wedding. Her episode was titled The Only One Who Still Believes in Soulmates.
Yeah, it was such a great episode and people loved it.
It was one
of our most downloaded episodes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah. And you have some amazing fans. You really do. And it was one of our fan favorites. So we re-released it again on New Year's Eve. Was it New Year's Eve or New Year's Day?
I think it was New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people love your story, which has come back to us. We do too. And that's why we wanted to follow up with you.
And it did really well again.
Yeah.
People love.
Yes.
And they love Manon.
They do love Manon. Nora loves Manon.
She does. I got to at least tell Nora that what she was feeling was called starstruck.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is she on TikTok?
She is.
Yeah, she is. Yes.
TikTok's killing it right now.
She's killing it.
We'll have to link you guys up.
Oh, that would be really gosh. Great. You know who hit me up to collab
who?
This morning?
Who?
Jason Derulo.
What?
Oh, no way. Really? That's great.
Okay, that's dope.
I woke
AF.
Up
yeah.
And I looked at my messages and I have two inboxes, actually technically three. I have people that I know, then unfollow, whatever.
Yeah.
This is irrelevant. I opened my, okay, so guess what, guys?
You opened one of your inboxes.
How do you hang your shirts?
They have to be color coordinated.
Me too.
The same hanger. I don't like mixing it.
Me too.
Oh my God. Yeah. I need to clean. I woke up, checked my Instagram.
Yes.
And there was a message with a little check mark. And it says Jason Derulo. And he's he goes, your TikTok fire emoji.
Hey.
Yeah.
And I went, what? And then I went to his TikTok. And at this point, he has 23 million followers on TikTok.
Jesus.
And his TikToks are... like, they look incredible, and they're very well produced.
We're doing a little TikTok.
let's not talk about it.
Yeah, the vegan stuff.
You said it so well. The vegan
because that's
stuff.
All you're posting on Instagram. Uh-huh. I'm always like, ooh, what's she going to post? It? Oh, it's a vegan
thing
TikTok.
Again. Yeah.
That's very relevant.
I'm Laura. Really bored with it.
Okay. I'm going to introduce you. I don't know if this is old. So if there's anything that needs to be updated, you let me know. Okay. Manon Matthews is a social media personality, comedian, actor, writer, and director. You can catch her romantic comedy, Holiday Breakup, on Amazon and iTunes. Working with brands is her bread and butter. She's written and directed and starred in dozens of commercials, most recently DiGiorno and Coffee Mate, Jack in the Box, M&M's, Febreze, and Allure Bridal. She is the author of the forthcoming memoir, Funny How It Works Out, which is really funny and wonderful. I'm so glad I got a chance to read it. And she currently has over 1.2 million followers on Facebook, 602,000 followers on Instagram, and 785.3K on TikTok and counting. That actually goes up every time I look at it. And she couldn't be any more grateful for all of it.
Welcome, Manon.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I interviewed you in June of last year, it was... It was such a different world, right? It was so different. Your circumstances were vastly different then because you were getting ready to get married. But the whole world has changed.
Drastically.
Yeah. It's like 180 degrees mm-hmm. from where we were then. So obviously that needed to be said was how much has changed since then. But just to recap, we talked about you growing up in the Los Angeles area here where we are. We talked about your parents. We talked about the influence they had on you. We talked about comedy and what it offered you. Then we talked about the spiritual quest you went on. 12-step meetings, Buddhism, Tony Robbins, Landmark, etc. Your quest to love yourself in your 20s so that you could be your best self whenever you met him. The very end of the interview, the last 8 minutes of the interview, that we talked about your husband and or then your soon-to-be husband at that point. I thought that was really interesting when I went back to listen to that it was such a short portion of him when we were there to talk about your soulmate in theory. But what we really did was talk about what brought you to that point.
Yeah, it turns out I'm my own soulmate.
It turns out you're your own soulmate.
I've been the one I've been looking for.
Hey. It's true though, right? In a way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So... You posted something March 4th. So this is Manon's Instagram post on March 4th, and it's accompanied by this really ethereally beautiful photograph from her wedding day. And it says, "It is with a heavy heart that I disclose the current situation and status of my marriage. Normally, I wouldn't want to expose this kind of thing on social media, as I find it a bit tacky. But I also included you on our love story, so it deserves to be shared all the way to the current. Last year, we had our wedding. Unfortunately, shortly afterwards, we hit a huge speed bump in our journey. Following that, we went to couples therapy for 3 months and tried to move past it, but we were unable to do so. We have decided to separate and remain friends. It has been a few months now, and the grieving process was excruciating. As I plan my life with this person, I care for him deeply and hope that he finds nothing but happiness, joy, and peace. I do not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. I have learned so much about myself in this process and love where I am at today. I was once told that people come into our lives for a reason, a season or a lifetime. This may just be for a season, but definitely for a reason. Relationships are lessons." And then there's more, and you talk about you're sorry for those that are disappointed by this news. And then you say that you were disappointed yourself. So before you talk about that, mm-hmm. I just kind of want to create a little bit of a timeline. You met your husband about a year and a half, is that right, before you got married?
Yes, we met November 2017.
November 2017.
And we had our wedding July 14th.
Okay. And then how long was your courtship about? Courtship. Sounds
you mean
right.
Since being
like,
married?
No. Like since the time that you met to the time that you got engaged.
Oh man, right away.
Right away.
We met in November and got engaged March 15th.
Okay. So you guys, and you were in
about
separate
four
cities.
And a half months.
Yeah. And you just were, you knew,
yeah,
right?
In yeah. In the last episode, did I talk about how we met and everything?
You did a little. Yeah. That's actually kind of where we ended, was you told the story of how you met.
Yeah. Okay.
But do you want to tell it again for people who didn't listen to that episode? Because it's a really good story.
Yeah. Long story short, long story medium, I don't know. We had met on social media. He was living in Australia, but visiting Los Angeles at the time. And I was living in New York City. I found his picture, saw his videos, felt a very strong pull to him.
Yeah.
Went to message him and saw that he had already written me 18 months before with a really light, loving, filled message. And we decided that before he goes to Australia, he would come meet me in person in New York City. And it was on. It was on. It's like, there he is.
And before he met you, he met your mom.
He met my mom for coffee.
Yeah.
Because she lived in L.A.
Yeah.
at the time.
Yeah.
And was like, I should meet him first.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a coffee and it went really well. And she let me know, you know, he's really endearing and I have no problem with him coming to visit you in New York. And then he came to meet me and it was like two souls reconnected.
Yeah.
For the first time in this lifetime, at least. It's very special.
I mean, and I think that was evident to all of us. I mean, I don't know about everybody who was just watching you on social media, but someone who was in your life, that part of it was evident. It didn't feel made up. It didn't feel like a fantasy. It felt like, wow, we're witnessing something special here. So you got engaged. And what was the period like between your engagement and the actual wedding? We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
This episode is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Oh, Voyage AC. Do you know how much I love them?
I do, honey. In fact, I was looking at those gift bags in your closet and wondering if you ever shop anywhere else.
I really don't, hun. Not for gifts. I mean, why would I? They have something for every single person I buy gifts for. Housewarming or hostess gifts, I go for one of their incredible hand-poured candles. Mm. Birthday gift for a close acquaintance, I like the leather tassel keychains or maybe one of their dope new face masks.
Right.
A good friend, maybe the fuzzy slides or a beach tote bag. My mom got two of their ridiculously cozy washable blankets from me for Christmas.
Two?
Well, yeah. Remember she liked the first one so much? I got her another one last year.
Oh, right. Come to think of it, I shop there too. I bought you one of those scents this year.
Oh, yeah. My Opera. I love it so much. I wore it as a pick-me-up during quarantine. You know, even though we weren't going anywhere, putting it on was absolutely self-care. And, hun, don't forget your Father's Day present, too.
Oh, right. Thank you, honey. I used the shaving cream this morning, and the charcoal candle smells amazing in my office.
It does. Yay. And the good news, honey, is that now Voyage AC is 100% open for business. You can order online, you can order ahead and pick it up, or you can go right into their Studio City store and peruse all of their amazing merchandise for yourself.
And these things aren't factory-made products. Melanie Apple, who owns Voyage AC, ensures that every single product is handmade.
Melanie's amazing. She's literally in the lab creating beautiful new fragrances and products every day. So tell us, hon, how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VoyageEtcie.com.
Oh, hey. And Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all of our listeners right now. That's 10% off everything they buy.
That's awesome. But how do they get it?
All they have to do is enter the only one on the website when they make their purchase.
All they have to do is enter the only one? But what if they go to the store?
Then they just give them the code when they order, the only one. And they'll get 10% off everything. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel, design, and scents. Each original fragrance, every candle, is created by Melanie, handmade, 100% natural vegetable blend, and will transport you on a journey.
Calling all lovers of mystery. Prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective who is on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. If, like me, you get sad when a story comes to a close, never fear. With June's journey, the thrill is endless, since new chapters are added weekly. And not only can you enjoy the detective adventure, but you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook games. Your detective journey awaits. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
We got engaged, which was one of the most beautiful moments of my life. We were both sobbing like two little babies. We both are criers, and we wear our hearts on our sleeve. He wears my name on his chest as a tattoo.
Still?
Yeah, it's still there.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's good.
And the time from the engagement to the wedding, in the beginning was hard because it was still long distance. And in the beginning, you want to be with the person all the time. The honeymoon phase is like called that for a reason. So yeah. I want to be with my man. I've just been searching, I don't know, 29, 30 years for this person. Yeah, finally found him, and you're telling me that we have to be apart? Are you out of your mind? It was so difficult. And so I think the longest we were away was 6 weeks while he went and worked in the mines and, you know, did his best to make some money so that when he came to...
Worked in the mines?
Like the coal mines.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't really sure that's what you meant before.
It sounds like a joke. It's like coal mining.
Yeah. He literally worked in the mines.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did that for about 8-9 years of his life.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. So he's doing that and you are preparing?
I was preparing his arrival.
Yes. And to get married. Like.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You mean you're like planning the wedding?
No, we hadn't started planning the wedding until the beginning of 2019.
Okay. All right.
So it was kind of like, yeah, we know we're each other's soulmates. We obviously clearly know we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. We are now have made that commitment with the engagement. Now let's just kind of get our ducks in a row, and then have you move in to New York and we'll spend New York together. And we spent, you know, the rest of 2018 in New York City in an apartment in Gramercy and, you know, walked around and did the New York thing. And it was... For me, it was my first time living with anybody. Right. So as an only child, I like my space, and New York City apartments are very small.
Yes, they are.
So that was a huge learning lesson. But it wasn't... The first month was pretty difficult for me because it was just a shock to share space.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we ended up living together pretty well, I would say. We get along very well. We're not a couple that fought much at all. And if we discussed, it was very, we took accountability for our own feelings. We rarely blame the other person. It was very like, this is what's coming up for me. And this is what, when you said this, this is how I took it. And this is the story I created. And when you talk like that, it's very hard for things to escalate out of hand the way I used to fight when I was in my early 20s.
Yes.
Drunk. It's very dramatic.
Well, and that's how you are anyway. That's how you talk. That's how you negotiate.
Thank you, yeah.
Which is very, I think it's really unique. And maybe not in certain communities, but I think in the world at large, I don't think many people do that. It's pretty cool. It really is.
Thank you.
So once you had decided to start planning the wedding, is your intuition saying all systems go? This is what I need to be doing. Is there any kind of holdback? Are you having any doubts at this point?
On marrying him, no.
Yeah.
No, that felt very clear. This is the man that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. We're going to have each other's babies. We named the babies. We started planning everything from law of attraction. This is what we're going to be doing with our lives. We're going to be an unstoppable force as well of good in the world. Nothing but like helping each other out. We really were each other's cheerleaders along the way. Me as a individual, I found that I really needed to start doing my spiritual work because I started feeling some blocks and issues come up within myself that I thought was mine to deal with. I don't know if that's making any sense, but
sure.
You know, when you're committing your life to someone, and I've spent my whole life I've dated, but I'm an individual. I'm an independent woman. I make my decisions. No one tells me what to do. No one's going to like rule my world. I stand alone. So to now I have a partner who is Viking.
Yes.
Who's very strong in his energy. Okay, this is testing me a little bit. This is testing my boundaries at times, my voice. I have to really make sure I have a strong voice here. Because, you know, I had a very strong father as a kid, and I want to remain as someone that can defend myself, stick up for myself, say what I believe in. And so it was almost like the world was testing me with, you know, my husband's nothing like my father in any way.
Yeah.
But I felt similar buttons being pressed by my relationship from the way they were when I was a kid. And so I was given the opportunity to look at the wounds that I still had.
Yeah.
And I could either brush them away and find someone new or stick it out. And really, you know what? Marriage is something that I eventually, that is a goal of mine. And that partnership and a family, that's my dream, you know, was to first find the soulmate, but to produce this family-like dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, I mean, I now I got to step it up and I got to learn how to be in a partnership and learn to share and express and have this coexisting type way of being, which I didn't have before. So I took this as a huge learning lesson of like, well, I found my person, so I got to make it work. There's nowhere to run anymore.
Right.
And so I had some internal battles going on leading up to it, but nothing too detrimental, nothing that he wasn't aware of. I was very vocal with him about everything that was going on within me, like fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a night at like 2 a.m. where he was up watching Game of Thrones, and I got up and I went in the living room and I was like, what are we doing? What is marriage? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, neither do I. Screw it. And we would joke. We had a good sense of humor in that way where we're like, it is kind of silly. Why do, like, we could just spend our lives together. We don't actually need to wed. But, it'll be a beautiful celebration. And, you know, technically, in order for you to stay here, we do have to be married. Mm. And I'm happy. If I'm going to do marriage, I want to try it with you.
Right.
Was the thing that kind of got me there to actually take the step to get married. Whether I believe in it or not, I'd like to try marriage and I'd like to do it with him.
Yeah. So you were both committed to the idea of being together for the rest of your lives. And if marriage was a way to do that, a wedding ceremony and a marriage, that was fine with both of you. You were committed to that as well.
Yeah.
The ceremony was beautiful. Thank I was you. Not there, but I saw it on social media and saw some video of you walking down the aisle, which made me cry.
Ooh, yeah. It was one of the best moments of the entire wedding, was walking down the aisle with my dad.
Oh, beautiful. And, you know, for anyone who's wondering what she looked like, you can check out her social media and you'll see it there. Tell me what happened after that wedding.
Shit went down. Yeah. Is what happened. What happened after the wedding? Well, we had just moved into a beautiful house that we had searched for months for. We actually had our, we had our rehearsal dinner in that house days before the wedding. So we moved into a new home 5 days before the wedding and then had our rehearsal dinner. Our families came together and it was a beautiful night. And then about a month after the wedding, I got the wedding photos, which were just stunning. I could not wait to share them. I got like tidbits and got to share them on social media, but then I got all of them and I had a friend, you know, call saying he wanted to have a coffee. And I said, yeah, well, come in and look at the photos. And he said, no, come out to coffee with me and my girlfriend. And this is my best friend, by the way, calling me. And they take me to a coffee shop. And long story short, they inform me that person I married was doing some things behind my back that I was unaware of, that flipped my life upside down, turned everything I knew in reality to be true, to make me question the world.
You were shocked by this?
Absolutely shocked.
Yeah. Blindsided.
Completely blindsided. It was like you were telling me that dinosaurs are actually on the other side of the 101, right, hibernating, ready to come out. It just doesn't, I actually couldn't process it until I saw screenshots and realized that it was true. And that was, it was really the scariest moment of my life. The before they had told me what had happened, the energy that they were giving me, I thought someone close to me had passed. Right. It was so scary. And I was trembling and shaking. And I just said, just tell me what? And then they revealed the information. And it was so scary. Mm. It was so scary.
Yeah. So you got married in July and this was end of August.
Yeah, we were going to have a Labor Day barbecue, but that we canceled.
So what did you do next?
I confronted him. I went home. I packed a bag just in case, because at this point I didn't know who I was dealing with, because to see these things, sexual in nature, that weren't for me, made me confused, because he had not revealed anything like that to me. So it's not like he was doing this but involving me in it. It was brand new information. So my trust had been broken. And so I packed a bag, but I had my key in my pocket, and I asked him to come outside. And I said, hey, can you bring me a water? I was sitting outside, and he sat down, and I think he felt something coming. And then I just confronted him. And then tears happened, a lot of tears on his end. So I decided that I could see how in pain he was. And I proceeded to coddle him for 48 hours until I was able to leave the house and get a bagel, which became my favorite food for a month. I just had a bagel a day. I guess I got comforted by bagels as a kid. I didn't remember that until that point. But after 48 hours, I asked him to leave. And then I took some time with people I love, and they love to give me their opinion and project their feelings about the situation, and mostly not nice things. The man I married portrayed only loving, kind, warm vibes. Some heaviness at times about some other things, but genuinely looked like he was trying to be a good source in the world. So it was very confusing and conflicting.
So I'm just going to interrupt you just for a minute, because this happens. He moves out, and you were kind of left with this community of people, family and friends, who love and trust you, or you love and trust, who are not only nourishing you, but they've been in this, along this journey the whole time with you. They were at the wedding. Are they betrayed too?
That's how they felt. Yeah. They felt betrayed. They felt confused. They just had invested in this love story. My best friend felt betrayed because he was close to my husband, so they had become friends. And he was in the dark of it. So, yeah, the people that love me felt blindsided as well.
Yeah. And then you also, because you have a public life, you had your inner life and your outer life at that point, which for a while, I would imagine they're pretty much there. There's a lot that, not that you do everything on social media or in your writing or in your comedy, but there's a lot that you were able to put out. What are you doing now with your outer life? Are you shut down? Does anybody know what's going on? Are you maintaining that this is still where it was when you got married? What's going on there?
Yeah, what ended up happening was I think I stopped posting for just a few days.
Uh-huh.
And then I resumed with him not in the picture. I didn't acknowledge it. I didn't say anything. About after a month, people started commenting, "Where's your husband? What happened? Didn't you just have your wedding?" And I just ignore it because I'm still unsure of what's going to happen. You know, I decide after a month, because of some good behavior portrayal, that maybe this is salvageable. And maybe this will be part of our story. And then we can share that with the world, of just because a person commits something that isn't of their best intention doesn't mean it's something that can be changed. And, you know, we went to therapy for 3 months, and during that 3 months, I just didn't acknowledge it to anybody. There was a post I did, I think in October, before I had my crazy hair stage. I went blonde and then I went bright orange, and I had people comment and send me gifts saying, you know, you can tell someone's just been heartbroken when they change their hair or something like that. I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. People can tell something's up. Like, where he was in all of her posts, where is he? So I think people are smart. I just wasn't ready to acknowledge it. So I just, you know, I got really lucky, and I had my friend Shannon move in October, and mm-hmm. she became my roommate, and such a light energy source of showing me what's possible to feel, if that makes sense, by proximity. She is a very happy, light person, and I started getting happier and feeling lighter in my life and continuing doing what brings me joy, which is making videos, and meanwhile going to therapy, but not, you know, not interacting with my husband as often as obviously every day like we used to. And then at the end of the year, Christmas Eve, I got more news that I didn't love. That kind of, you know, I was asking God, I was asking the universe, give me a sign. Because I was stuck. I was really stuck on what decision to make. Mm-hmm. I love this man. I see his good. You know, he treated me like a queen. That's clear. He showed up. And I love him. And I don't trust him. Mm-hmm. Do I want to live the next? This is too soon to betray trust. This is too, you know, heart-wrenching. Now I have these pictures in my mind of things that he said about me that were unkind, and that's showing up every time I look at him. This might be too much work for me to be so worried about who he's texting. And I don't know if he wanted to change the behavior. I still don't know. And I don't want to live that way.
So you were saying you asked God for a sign.
I asked God for a sign. Yeah. I said, please help me with this, because I'm really struggling. I'm too close to see something here.
Yeah.
And I let him know that, you know. He was very aware that I was hanging by a thread. And, you know, apparently the universe works in threes or something.
Yes.
And there was a third strike that happened on the December 24th. And it was, the source was, anyone could have told me this information. And the source came from this beautiful woman that I trust dearly. And it just was all I needed to hear to go, okay, I got to release this.
Yeah.
I got to release this relationship. Not saying forever. If it's supposed to come back, great. I can't claim to know. I have to release it and move forward without this marriage. Soulmates come in, right, for a reason, season, lifetime. So I definitely think this has run its course in this season.
Mm.
And I've learned a lot. I needed to learn some discernment. I have been too trusting. I've had good parents. I've been very sheltered. I don't know what's going on. I'm very ignorant in the world. I'm still learning. But I didn't ask questions. I didn't go, hey, this has been a huge lesson in me trusting my gut. Because now that I look back at certain moments where I didn't speak up or didn't trust my gut or didn't say, hey, well, that's weird. Let's expand on that. Like, I didn't do that. And I feel like I needed to learn that lesson.
Well, I have to tell you, because I've been in your life since this has happened, and just even forgetting that and just sitting here hearing you talk about it, I don't know if admire is the right word, but I have women in my life who have endured behavior that goes contrary to their being. They're compromising themselves. And I won't say whether or not this behavior is worse or this, but it's just the behavior itself is a compromise to them. And so they've endured relationships for the sake of the relationship or out of fear for years and years and years. And, you know, you're saying that you don't know and that you were ignorant, but boy, you knew enough to follow your intuition there and to honor yourself and to take that time to say, I'm not sure how all the rest is supposed to feel, but I know I feel this. This is what I need to do now. That's huge. It's really huge. And like, I don't know too many people who would have done that, who would have had the courage to do it. I think it's really important for women, and especially young women, to hear that you don't have to stay because you've made a commitment on paper or verbally. If it's not the right situation for you, even if it's just for a time period, mm-hmm. you have every right to take that time and take yourself back, take that pause and figure out what's going on, sift through it.
Yeah, and when all the information isn't presented truthfully, you're absolutely allowed to change your mind.
Yes.
Had I known this, and this that happened before we got married, I would have made a different choice.
Yes.
And so you're absolutely allowed, when there's more information being revealed, you're allowed to change your mind. That's something that I learned very late in life, that I've recently learned, is you're allowed to change your mind
right.
at any time.
But even without evidence.
Yeah.
I think you're allowed to change absolutely. Your mind, right? If you have an intuition that's intact, if it hasn't been damaged or broken, or it's not separated from you by drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, if you have that intact intuition and it's telling you stay or run or whatever it is, you have the right to pull back and listen to that. And sometimes you make the best decisions of your life from that place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just really... You know, every time I think about it or hear you tell it, I just admire the courage that it took for you to do that and the esteem that you have for yourself.
Thank you. Yeah. I had a lot of help.
Yeah, but no one can make that decision for you.
That's true.
Yeah, you're the only one who can do it.
Thank you.
I do want to make sure that we talk about Russell before we get to the end of the interview.
But the light at the end of the tunnel?
The light at the end of the tunnel. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was you did a show. Was it in South Carolina? North Carolina?
Yeah, South Carolina and then Washington, D.C.
So can you just tell me about that first show? Like what your intent was going there and then what happened once you got there?
Yeah, So to preface, I had been, you know, touring stand-up comedy.
Pre-COVID.
Doing, you know, my light kind of impressions and dancing and whatever characters. I was in the middle of, you know, contemplating whether I was going to keep my marriage or not when I went to this breathwork class at the Den. And in the breathwork, it was like Beyonce's Spirit was playing, which I had never heard that song before.
Can you just describe what breathwork is?
Oh, right. Yeah. Breathwork is a way to release stored energy in the body, and so people will get together in groups and breathe. I don't know how to explain it. They'll breathe from their diaphragm through their heart out their mouth. So it's two breaths in, out the mouth. And if you do it for, you know, a certain amount of time, lots of stored energy will release from you. It can lead to, you know, numbness
in the body, which is a kind of cool feeling, but nothing to be alarmed by. And people will do it with music playing and people start screaming, and it's just so fun. Oh. I love it. I love it so much.
Okay, so you do this as a group, and you were doing that in a group, and then something came to you?
Yeah. So I was listening to Spirit. That came on, and I remember sobbing, and I remember hugging myself because I felt so betrayed by somebody else. And I realized, oh my gosh, I was abandoning myself. I need to be with myself. Wait, I got you, Manon. I got you. No, mm-hmm. I got you. I've been with you this whole time, and I'm going to be with you until the very end. Don't you worry. I got you. And that feeling was so powerful that I started feeling like this armor surround me of like, nothing can, I give myself the permission, and I realize I don't need anybody, but in the most beautiful way, you know, not in a, you know, nothing to, I can't, not in a, I felt like I was becoming a superhero of my own life.
Mm. Go ahead, Manon. Yeah.
And I get out of breath work and I'm just like standing tall with a new posture. I check my phone and realize within moments, Jennifer Aniston started following me. And
that's so
Friends was everything to me. Yes. I mean, that's my jam. And she messaged me, you know, and it was just like, I was like, oh my God. It just felt like the universe was speaking to me in certain ways. And in
that's freaking cool, by the way.
It's great. Yeah. Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
She's lovely.
Yeah.
And have you seen my Brad Pitt video where I say, you're not Brad Pitt?
No,
there's like a guy that comes up to talk to me, and I'm like, and my reaction to him coming up to talk to me is, you're not Brad Pitt. And he goes, what? And I'm like, you're not Brad Pitt. And he goes, I never said I was Brad Pitt. I'm like, you're not Brad Pitt. And then it breaks into this song of me saying, you're not Brad Pitt, you're not Brad Pitt, you're not Brad Pitt. It's a very strange video. It doesn't make any sense, and I made it years ago with my friend Vincent, but it got very popular.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if she's seen that.
That's
or if she
funny.
Even cares, because, you know,
right,
they
right.
were yeah. once wed. Anyway.
Yes.
In that breath work, another thing popped out was in my next show, which had already been planned. You know, I would have canceled them had I not signed a contract just because of everything I was going through. I don't feel like being funny right now. But it came up, I need to tell my story. I need to tell my story on stage. Like, yeah, I don't have a lot of funny things to say, but I need to say what I just went through, because that's where I'm at. I need to share where I'm at. Mm. And so I went to South Carolina at a college show.
Right.
It was raining and I was terrified, and I did a little bit of humor, and then I just sat at the end of the stage and told the story from start to finish, bawled my eyes out to a bunch of 18-year-olds.
What were they thinking? Because they were confused. There to see Manon the comedian, right?
Yeah, they thought they were going to see some humor.
Yeah.
Which they did. You know, they did laugh a little bit, but then they saw another side. I didn't really feel like I had much control over what was coming out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then afterward, you know, I got a lot of deep-seated, connected comments back of, I really loved seeing this side of you. So I got affirmed that it was okay. I'm glad that we got to see you be funny, but also this. I relate. A lot of people said they relate, which was funny.
Yeah.
Like, 18-year-old, you relate to getting married and then having a divorce months later? Okay.
But you know how big breakups are at that age.
Oh, yeah. It's
right?
the feeling that they relate
to. It's the feeling,
The betrayal feeling.
Yes.
The details, whatever. But and then I went to D.C. and had three shows back-to-back where I did the same similar thing. And there was one, I remember one girl coming up to me. She's like, it's really sweet. We really love that side of you. It was really amazing. But we did come to a comedy show. It's like, I hear you. Uh-huh. I hear you.
Right.
And so it was the following night that I lightened up the way that I talked about it,
uh-huh.
if that makes sense.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The first night I was bawling my eyes out.
Right.
Second night, I lightened it up and did a mix.
And the first night when you were bawling your eyes out and you then left that stage and got the feedback that you did, how did it feel in your body afterwards, like when you got back to your hotel?
It's really scary. It was liberating, but also like, did I just make a huge mistake? Most of the time, if I'm going too personal and then I walk away, the first thought I have is, I just made a huge mistake.
And had you and your husband discussed at all what you were going to do?
No.
So did he hear about it?
No.
No?
Not that I know of.
Your fans kind of kept the sanctity of of that.
I guess, yeah. But had he gotten a message, he hasn't shared it with me.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. And so when you decided to go back and share the story again on stage, you must have had something in your body that said, this has to keep going. This has to keep going, right? Or was it just impulsive each time?
Do you mean for future shows?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. When you went to Washington, D.C. and shared it again, mm-hmm. Did you do it impulsively that time? Or were you thinking before you went on stage, this is exactly what I'm going to do because this is what I need to do?
It was a little bit of a mix of both. It was, I need to do this because I just need to be honest.
Yeah.
I want to see what it's like to be rigorously honest on a stage. Mm. But I didn't know what I was going to say. That was the hard part, was where am I going to put this, though? Because I knew I always like to come up dancing and get the crowd wild and start with a few jokes of making fun of my name and all that stuff. And so I was like, where is this going to be placed?
Right.
And I have a joke about getting engaged and how, you know.
Yes, like, you do.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe I throw it here. And so I'm like, I got married. And everyone's like, yeah. And I'm like, and then I, you know, crush all their dreams.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was also really fun to get, like, D.C. was crowded, whereas South Carolina wasn't as much. It was more young kids that, you know, the room was light and bright, whereas D.C. was dark and there was just a ton of people. And, you know, it was almost like I was having conversation with the audience at that point. Mm. They were like, what the hell? You know,
like they were right there with you.
Enraged.
Yeah.
They were enraged.
Yeah. Wow. That's got to be kind of validating, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, because at that point, this was in late February. Mm-hmm. At that point, I was not over it, but kind of removed from the emotional tie to it.
Yes.
So to hear people get so upset, I was like, oh, yeah, that is really bad.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and also just like, oh, and I really, even though you know, but you had every right to feel the way that you did, that this was something that really sucked that happened to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as a person who doesn't necessarily always feel the right to feel anything.
Yeah.
That's another thing I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Is feeling so strong about my voice, but also having this cover of you shouldn't really say anything at all. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a household where my feelings were too much. Mm. I was too sensitive. My feelings caused too much feeling in another person, so I'll just say nothing.
Right.
So I have a constant contradiction going on.
Yeah.
Constantly. Yeah. Where I'm like, funny, really serious. What the F do I talk about?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to collide those two worlds.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because you're writing a book. Actually, you've written a book and it's in the final stages of being edited. It's probably on its way out by the time people hear this podcast, which is just in a few weeks. In the book, it's all of you.
Mm.
It's the funny parts. And like I said, kind of at the top, I've had the privilege of reading this book. I'm actually on the last, like, just few pages. But, you know, it's really like having a conversation with you.
Mm.
And you are incredibly funny, but you can also be incredibly spiritual. And you can also be very vulnerable. And you are all of those things in this book. Do you want to tell us why you wrote it and then what it was like doing that?
Yeah. I had thought about writing a book the past few years. And then when shit hit the fan with my marriage, I thought, okay, now's the time. Now I have something to kind of tie the book with that feels really deep and meaningful, because I had not had a heartbreak or trauma like this in my life yet. So when that happened, it was really beautiful. The power of manifestation really hit hard because I had been thinking, I got to write a book. And I got an email from a publisher. I'd like to publish and help you get your book out.
Yeah.
And I just went running with that. And it all happened very quickly. In fact, we actually met in D.C.
Oh.
And wrote some of it during that time.
Yeah.
So it was a very short process. And I thought I'd like to tell, you know, some of the history and just get everything out that I kind of believe in, but along with my journey in this book, and kind of have it all in one little pamphlet.
Yeah.
And then when, the marriage stuff happened, I thought this will be a good place to kind of enlighten people with what I went through, because people are still curious. You know, it was kind of just left as like, and we're not seeing each other. Very abrupt. Like how it felt with me.
Yeah.
And so hopefully this will help people kind of understand, if they're curious, mm-hmm. what I went through and how I got past it too. Because yes. Heartbreak is something that I get messaged a lot with. Mostly women, but some men that are suffering heartbreak. And so this hopefully will be a guide. There's lessons in the back of how to kind of stay positive and focus yes. on what's good. And at the end of the book, there's Russell, who is just like the best thing that's ever happened to me.
So tell us about Russell.
Russell. So I actually had a psychic last year say, are you thinking about getting a dog? And I kind of laughed. I'm allergic to dogs. So no, I'm not thinking about getting a dog. And my last experience with a dog was my beagle Tucker, who after 8 years, one of my parents divorced. They were like, we gave him away. So it was kind of traumatic. It was awful. I was like, screw this. I'm not getting a dog again. I can't get attached. So when the psychic said that, I went, okay, cool. What else you got?
Right.
I'm going to Alaska as well. like they say the darndest things. Yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah. You had a psychic at your...
We did.
I saw her. Yeah. I forgot what she said.
Aurora.
Though. Oh, yeah. So fun. I
she
love
was
them.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah, she was great. I came solo to that party.
Yes, you did.
Coming in the new year alone.
Came in second in the shoe contest.
Because I proclaimed that placement with my gold shoes.
They were great.
I don't think the person judging saw them. Who judged? Was it you, Laura?
It was Scott.
No.
Scott? Scott, did you even see my shoes before you had announced the winner?
My
mic. Yeah, he can't talk. He's bound and gagged over in the corner.
It's fine. Second, I will take.
My mic is cold.
I think it's there.
There
it is.
Yeah.
I actually thought you should have won.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
But then why did you choose someone else?
Who makes the last call in this house?
Oh.
Right?
Last call, Laura.
Last call. Uh-huh. So. Anyway.
Anyway.
You came by yourself, but the psychic told you that you were going to get a dog, and
I thought she was crazy.
You thought she was crazy.
But I don't know if she implanted it or if she did see the future, but I wanted to get a mini pig, right? Because I follow a lot of mini pigs online, and the way they snort and run around, it's just everything to me. So I went to a mini pig farm, and they basically were like, there's no such thing. They grow this mini pig. Like, it was just gross. Like, they were too big, and they were dirty. And I was like, ugh. Well, if I'm going to do this, I might as well get a little dog. Maybe I can look up hypoallergenic dogs. So I looked up hypoallergenic dogs, and it was like, $3,000 for a Yorkie. And I was like, $3,000? Wait, no, what? I'm going to adopt. Here, I'll adopt a dog that needs a home. And then I just found that, like, a place on Franklin called Tail Waggers was doing an adoption day the next day at 11. And yeah. I was like, oh, I'm going to just go check it out. I'm just going to go see. And I walk in, and there's all these dogs. And in the corner, there's little baby Russell. And I see him, and I lock eyes, and I go straight towards him, pick him up. And it's at that moment I decide I'm taking this dog home. And within moments, I'm filling out paperwork, not even aware of, like, what am I doing?
Right. What's the magnitude of what you're taking on?
It was almost like the same thing that I happened with my husband.
Yeah.
There he is.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very
impulsive.
I think
you left here and went there.
I did.
Yeah.
I left here and went there. I was like, I'm going to go look at dogs. Mm-hmm. And then the following Saturday, I was like, I got the dog.
You got the dog. And I was like, what? No one does that. Oh, but he's so cute.
He's one of the cutest. Oh, well, the cutest. I can say that because, I mean, I know that's how moms feel about their whatever.
Yes.
But he gets stopped a lot. Like, he's exceptionally cute.
No, and he's very photogenic.
He's very photogenic.
He is. So he has filled up your heart in a different way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's my pride and joy. Mm. He brings so much joy to my life. He's so soft, sweet, such great temperament. He's 6 months old now. I got him when he was 7 weeks. He was so tiny, all black. Now he's pretty much gold other than his ears.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, the black grew out and now he's gold.
Because that's usually the other way.
Is it?
Well, like, you know, kids that are born with and they have blonde hair, then their hair gets darker as they get.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you rarely see a kid born with black hair that gets blonde later. You know what I mean?
That never happens.
That never happens.
I guess in dogs it does.
In dogs it does. And apparently there's some horses in Portugal. Anyway.
What?
There are these horses in Portugal that are born black and then they turn white when they're adults.
Wow.
They're very rare.
Yeah, he's just like that.
Yeah, he's just like
that. I saw a picture of his brothers and sisters. He was the only black one.
Interesting.
We'll have him on the show.
The only black dog in the room.
He wanted me to ask you if you'd be willing to interview him.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Venus and Serena will have to do it.
Yeah.
So before I get to how people can find you and what's next for you, I just wanted to take a moment to really thank you for being so supportive of the show and of Scott and I. And, you know, you wear our merchandise on social media. Yeah. And
do you have a channel or a swipe up? I always feel like I want to, like,
we don't yet.
We're working on it. Growing.
Let me know.
Yeah.
We're going to give you some more. I wear that shirt and that sweatshirt all the time.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's just, it's so amazing for us. Even if you weren't wearing the merchandise, you've been such a good friend to us, mm-hmm. but very supportive of the show. You know, we're new. We've been around for a year and change, and to have a champion, especially someone like you, has been really amazing for us. It's been incredible, actually. Yeah, it's just, I wanted to make sure that I acknowledge that because I think about it all the time, and now I have an opportunity to just say it out loud to everybody and to say it to you directly.
Thank you, Laura.
Yeah.
I appreciate
Ditto.
Both of you.
Ditto.
Thank you, Scotty. Mm-hmm.
So where can people find you?
They can find me online, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, at Mann and Matthews.
Yep.
You can go get my book to learn some more deep stuff
called
Funny How It Works Out.
And it is funny how it works out. And the book is funny and vulnerable and spiritual, just like Mann.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. So as soon as it's available, you know, if it's available when the show comes out, we'll post it in our show notes. If not, you can either get a hold of us, DM us, or Mann. She will have places where you can purchase it online, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Mann.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mann.
Thank you.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and stay tuned for our bonus after show, Scott Talks, coming up next.
Stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.